idea of Trinity. Brahman is transcendental, while human experiences are confined to the terrestrial realm. Your body, mind, and intellect cannot reach the transcendental. You are not able to conceive Brahman. It is not possible to describe Brahman. Even in the terrestrial realm, you find it difficult to express subtle themes. Physical experiences are relatively easy to communicate to another. If you have seen the Taj Mahal or the Eiffel Tower, you are able to express its beauty and majesty. You are able to put it in words, to describe it. But when you wish to communicate feeling and emotion of the mind, you find it rather difficult to do so. Sometimes you do not find words to express them. You need a Matthew Arnold to do that. How magnificently he has captured the vivid emotions of a father and son in his poem, Shorab and Rustum. When it comes to thought and idea, the intellect finds it extremely difficult to communicate. Language becomes virtually inadequate. That explains why signs and symbols are used to convey scientific and mathematical ideas. The subtler the theme, the greater the difficulty in expression. Brahman, being subtler than the subtlest, defies all expression. Language breaks down completely. It is impossible to capture Brahman in words. However, enlightened sages have employed ingenious methods to express the inexplicable. One of their attempts is the idea of Trinity. They describe God in three facets as kshara, perishable, akshara, imperishable, and Uttama Purusha, Supreme Being, in the Bhagavad Gita, as Son, Holy Ghost, and Father, respectively, in the Bible. The sages adopted the fundamental principle of education in their explanation of the Supreme God, which means proceeding from the known to the unknown. What is best known to humanity is the world. Thus they pointed to the world and said, "That is God." People then attributed the qualities of the world to God, understood the perishable, changing world to be God. To remove this misconception, they clarified that God is not the gross, perishable world, but the imperishable, changeless substratum which supports it, leading to the conclusion that God is confined to the parameters of the world. Hence, they introduced the third concept of God as the Supreme Being extending beyond the perishable and the imperishable. The three-word explanation has been carefully introduced by starting from what is best known to you. You perceive the world before you. All your experience is confined therein. You have no idea of Brahman. You are in the position of a weary traveler who sees a mirage in a desert and has no clue of what a desert is. He sees water and not the hot sand beneath. Standing in the midst of a vast desert, he asks what a desert is like. You point out to the mirage that he sees and tell him, "That is it." He misunderstands the desert to be just water. You correct him that the water is just an illusion projected upon the desert. The desert is that which supports the water. The water is a phenomenon that passes away, while the hot sand beneath is the actual desert that stays there. The mirage water is the perishable, while the sand below is the imperishable aspect of the desert. And now he misconstrues the entire desert to be confined to the area of the mirage. You correct him again. You further elucidate that the desert lies as a vast expanse of sand even beyond the perishable mirage and the imperishable sand beneath it. Desert is all around. So does Brahman pervade the perishable and the imperishable facets of the terrestrial world and beyond into the transcendental.